From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hey, it's Chloe. September 13th. 10 stories, 1 trial, 3 reviews, 6 takes you can actually use. Let's get into it. First, from Mariamble Eating Notes, New Orleans. Last month, the author and a friend spent 3 nights in New Orleans, enjoying the city without the pressure of sightseeing. They kicked off their trip with breakfast burritos at the airport, then headed to Molly's Rise and Shine for a flavorful breakfast of collard greens and grits, and a standout biscuit. Lunch at Dookie Chase's featured red beans and rice with perfectly crisp fried chicken, accompanied by a French 75 cocktail. After a much-needed nap, they dined at Palm and Pine, relishing rib tips and fried catfish. They returned to Molly's for crispy rice salad and more biscuits, celebrating their 4 delicious meals in just one day. The next day included Bainett's and a visit to the Ogden Museum, followed by a muffaletta at Anna's. They enjoyed wine at a friend's house and then met up with another friend at Bar Pomona, where they savored mortadella anfocaccia and a fig leaf martini. Dinner at a cameo was less impressive, but they still had a great time. The trip ended with a belated birthday dinner at Cocon, where grilled oysters and rabbit and dumplings stole the show, followed by a relaxing evening at Bacchanal with cheese, wine, and live music. Next, second from Marianne Bull, if you're gonna bake, bake. On a dreary Monday morning in New York, the author reflects on a delightful dinner with friends, featuring a coconut cake that's both tender and subtly coconutty. They mention their KitchenAid mixer, which sits unused most of the year, but was pulled out for a Thanksgiving project, Calvin Eng's milk bread rolls. This recipe is approachable, requiring some effort but not demanding perfection. The rolls turned out tender, even if slightly overproofed. Eng's new cookbook, Salt Sugar Mess, G, is praised for being accessible to home cooks. The author shares a few enticing recipes they want to try, like umami, packed fish mix, and lemon, the chicken wings. Overall, the cookbook seems to balance creativity with practicality, making it a worthwhile addition to any kitchen. Up next, third from Marianne Bull, some updated thoughts on tea. After a birthday weekend, the author reflects on their tea journey, having switched from coffee to whole leaf tea to ease anxiety. Now living in Vermont, they enjoy a cozy setup with an electric kettle, a large mug, and a beloved tea strainer. They emphasize the importance of local honey, expressing disappointment in store-bought varieties. In Brooklyn, their tea collection is less organized but still cherished, featuring repurposed jars and handmade spoons. They mention a glass teapot they're not fond of but won't replace, and their ongoing search for a Mary Hadley teapot and vintage oyster knives for tea. Their daily teas are a crucial part of their routine. And then, fourth from Marianne Bull, Midnight Mortadella. The author reflects on their evolving relationship with party snacks over the years, sharing a mix of experiences from elaborate homemade dishes to embracing the simplicity of store-bought options. For their recent birthday, they opted for a low-key gathering without the fuss of extensive planning or elaborate setups. Instead of going all out, they focus on enjoying time with friends while keeping the snack game strong. Ruffles potato chips are highlighted as the go-to snack, paired with a beloved sautéed onion and yogurt dip that consistently impresses guests. The author emphasizes the importance of cooking the onions longer than the recipe suggests for the best flavor. Feeling inspired, they also plan to recreate a dish from a memorable visit to Bar Pomona in New Orleans, hinting at their desire to keep things interesting even in a relaxed setting. Next, fifth from Marianne Bull, recession-proof dinner party. A friend recently noticed that gatherings are shifting from dining out to cozy nights in, and it makes sense given the current vibe. The author reflects on their own experience, noting they've been hosting friends for dinner about once a month to avoid isolation. They've been keeping it simple and budget-friendly, often using pantry staples like beans. For a recent dinner, they made a big pot of beans and a fresh herb sauce, keeping costs lower, around $15. The focus was on the company rather than the food, emphasizing that a relaxed atmosphere is what truly matters. The author shares a desire for connection and simplicity, inviting others to share their own budget-friendly dinner party tips. Up next, 6th from Marianne Bull, Semester in Review. Teaching occasionally drove me insane, but also I loved it so much, which is bad news given that in a year there will be roughly 3 jobs left teaching creative writing at the college level. I spent a lot more time on campus than I had originally planned. The drive was so long, and Vermont is so wonderful. I figured I should take advantage of my quiet little house and my dining hall pass. Hello and happy summer. It may not technically be summer, but spiritually it is. As of last week, I completed a semester-long teaching fellowship up at Bennington College in Vermont. And then, 7th from Science Daily Health, Ozempic and Wegovy may raise hair loss risk in some men. While this finding is interesting, it's important to note that the increase in risk is relatively small. If you're considering these medications, it might be worth chatting with your healthcare provider about any concerns you have regarding hair loss, especially if it's something that runs in your family. Understanding the potential side effects can help you make a more informed decision about your treatment options. Next, 8th from Science Daily Health, a hidden compound in healthy foods may worsen IBD. A recent study suggests that a compound called oxalate, found in foods like spinach, almonds, and sweet potatoes, might worsen gut inflammation for those with inflammatory bowel disease IBD, such as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. This research indicates that people with IBD process oxalates differently, which could lead to increased inflammation in their intestines. The implications of this finding are significant. It opens up the possibility of developing lower oxalate diets or even microbiome treatments specifically designed for individuals with IBD. While this study highlights an important aspect of diet and gut health, it's still early days, and more research will be needed to fully understand the impact of oxalates and how best to manage them for those affected by IBD. Up next, 9th from Science Daily Health, scientists discover a hidden switch that shuts down inflammation. Researchers have found a natural mechanism in the body that helps turn off inflammation, which is pretty exciting. This braking system can prevent immune cells from becoming overly active and causing harm. In a study, Enhancing this pathway led to a decrease in inflammation, related changes in the immune system, and quicker pain relief for participants. While this is a single study, it suggests that targeting this mechanism could open doors for new treatments for chronic inflammatory diseases, which affect so many people. It's a promising direction, but we'll need more research to see how this could be applied in real-world settings. And then, 10th from Lindsay Max, Complexity Edge. I see bad people. 9 Truths of CPTSD. People with complex CPTSD often develop a heightened sensitivity to danger, shaped by their experiences growing up in unpredictable environments. This isn't about being paranoid. It's more like an instinctual awareness, similar to how someone who has lived through a fire can sense smoke before others do. Their bodies pick up on subtle cues, like micro expressions and shifts in energy, long before their minds can articulate what feels off. This ability to detect danger comes from years of needing to navigate the moods and behaviors of caregivers, learning that threats often disguise themselves as charm or kindness. When someone with CPTSD senses something wrong, they're not reacting to a single action, but rather to a collection of signals that their nervous system has learned to interpret. Essentially, CPTSD fosters a unique skill set, a finely tuned perception of relational dynamics. It's not just about being sensitive, it's about survival. This awareness can be a powerful tool, allowing individuals to navigate relationships with a keen eye for underlying patterns, even if it sometimes leads to being misunderstood as too sensitive. Understanding this can help others appreciate the depth of perception that comes from such experiences. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. New here? Grab your own free feed at storyflow.com. It only takes a few seconds.